and all of the officers and deacons and ushers and everybody in their respective places, the musicians. Amen. We are in the midst of a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for his holy word. And just in the next few minutes, I want to talk with you about something that I think is crucial in the time that we're living in. We can see what kind of things are going on in the news and stuff going on in the world. So we want to take a minute and take a look at a few things from the eternal word of God. Amen. That's what settles my heart when I see unrest and different types of things going on in the world. I always have to go back to the word, get my bearings back to the truth.
Yes.
Amen. People talking about go back to the future. You see, you can do that with the Bible. You can go back and he'll tell you what's going on in the future.
All right.
Amen. Somebody thought they was coming up with something new when they came out with that back to the future. But you can go to the Bible and you can find out what the future is with accuracy and clarity. That's one thing that is true of God's holy word.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and not to prolong the time, we're going to look at just a few verses here from the word of God. And these are verses that sometimes are not even read until around Christmas time. So I thought it was kind of a little unusual in some sense that the Spirit put it on my heart to talk about these verses here today. Amen. And we're going to just read this together. I'd like to have the whole sanctuary observe the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. Y'all heard me say it was the gospel of Isaiah before, so we're going to go with that because this is one of the verses that indicates why we call it sometimes the gospel of Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6-7, and also the New Testament, in case you are not having a handout, look in the book of Romans. We call this the swan song of the New Testament, or so to speak, the book of Romans. Because it tells us everything doctrinal and theological about what Jesus Christ accomplished for God the Father, but he also accomplished it for me and you. Amen. He was doing something for God, but he was doing something for you, me, and you. And he was doing something to Satan and the forces of darkness at the same time. Isn't it awesome if you can handle all of that with one blow? Amen. He can satisfy God. He can fix up mankind and disintegrate Satan all in one blow.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
With the sword out of his mouth. Amen. The sharp two-edged sword. But let's read. We're going to read Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 11 after our reading from the Old Covenant. Let's read. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That is the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Now for the New Testament from the book of Romans chapter 5, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in our tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man would someone dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's the new covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And we're going to use for a topic for this message today, God's recipe for true peace. God's recipe for true peace. Amen. You know, the world is not at peace. Very seldom is the world ever at peace. There's always some trouble, some turmoil, some threats of war and terrorism and all kinds of stuff, disease, natural disaster, all kinds of things that threaten your peace. But we're going to talk about God's recipe for true peace. The world talks about peace, but the thing of it is, sometimes I believe the way it is with them, they should be spelling it with an I. Because you're only going to get a piece. You're not going to get complete peace. We're going to give you a little piece of peace. Over here you might get a little bit, and over there you get a piece. And that's with the I. But God's going to give you peace with an A.
Yes.
Amen. And I didn't mean for that to be funny, but it actually is true. The world can only give you a peace. That's all it's got.
That's it.
But God's got everything. And he can give you true peace. We mentioned this, I think, in just a previous lesson, not too far back. The words from the Hebrew, which is shalom. You all have heard that. That's the word for peace.
Yeah.
And then the word irene in the New Testament would be from the Greek. And that's the word for peace. Those are equivalent words in the English word. We just say peace. Okay, so this is not just the absence of turmoil or any of that. It's not a temporary kind of a thing. The peace you get from God is an abiding peace. It happens all through every cycle of everything the world is doing. It's unfazed by what's going on in the world. That doesn't mean when I get shocking news or bad news that I'm just going to be all, everything's fine, all hunky-dory and all is well. I might still have an emotional impact. But back in the back of my mind and deep seated within my soul, I know that God is with me no matter what I'm going through.
Amen.
We looked at so many who trusted in God throughout their lives. The psalmist said, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
all right,
I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Yes.
See, he says it's just that knowing that God is with you.
Yes.
If God is for you, who can be against you? Paul says. See, and so that's what it is. It's a peace of mind knowing that there's no way I can lose. God has given me the victory. I have already won. Doesn't make any difference how ugly anything is, how tremendous the crowd is, how tremendous the upheaval, even the injustice from governments and all the kind of stuff we're seeing today.
All right.
It should not disturb your peace. If you are a child of God, you should realize that God has given you the victory.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing on earth. There's not even anything in the heavens. People want to tell you, oh, we should be fearful that there are some aliens out there who may come in and invade us. Well, you know, we don't even need to worry about that. The Bible says there's one name under heaven. That's where God is. That includes every other place you can be in heaven, which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is Lord. So God says you don't have anything in the heavens to worry about. They were all worried, oh, the solar eclipse, oh, the blood moons. They're talking about all these things. And yet that stuff came and went. And God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And all is well. And so people get fearful about all kinds of stuff. We got folks today, and I'm going to get off my soapbox in a minute. Folks telling you, oh, the sun is your enemy. You got to have number 49 skin screen to put it on to keep that sun from killing you. Are you kidding me? God put the sun up there to bless you.
Yes.
You see, it's not up there to kill you. And people telling you if you go out without number 49 or whatever they tell you, I don't know what they are because I don't put them on, with all that it's going to kill you. Well, you know what? Everybody is heading toward the grave from something, so it's not the sun. I guarantee you people got much worse problems than that. God gave you the sun to bless you.
All right.
Without the sun, we couldn't have any food. There'd be so many things out of order. So God's recipe for true peace is trust in my word, number one.
Yes.
First of all, trust my word. If I said it, it can't be changed. It's unalterable.
Amen.
My word is as solid as a rock. And you can count on it. You can build on it. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't build on it,
right,
when the storms come, you're going to have a problem.
Come on.
So the person who dug deep and built up on a rock, his faith is founded on the truth.
Yeah.
That's one of the recipes, or let's say it's an ingredient of the recipe that God gives for true peace.
Yes.
He told through Isaiah later on in this same book, he said that I will give perfect peace to the one whose mind is stayed on me. Isaiah 26, you'll see that over there in about the third verse. He says, I give you perfect peace. You don't have to worry about the shiftiness of the world.
All right.
Flakiness at your job, or flakiness with people that you know, flaky neighbors and friends, and even flaky relationships. You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to give you a peace that passes all understanding.
All right.
That's what God said. And it's all based on the fact whether you have faith in Him. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please Him. But those who come to God must believe that He is.
Yes.
And that He is a rewarder to them who diligently seek Him. So if you're the diligent seeker, you ought to have peace. If you know God is my God, He's given His Son for me, raised Him out the grave so that even the ugliness of death, I don't have to be choked up over it. Because Jesus defeated it for me. Then you can have peace. You can even think about loved ones that have gone on. If they went on, if they were in Christ, I don't have to worry about them. God gives me a peace that passeth all understanding. And so here he was predicting it. I want you to know how God gives you this recipe for true peace. And this is real peace because it trumps, and I hate to use that word almost today, but it trumps everything else in your life. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It just got negative recently for some reason. But the fact is, the word of God tops everything else in your life. Okay, he says this, Isaiah 9:6, and we often only hear this around the Christmas season, but I think it should be preached all through the year.
All right.
For unto us, that tells you the group of recipients, that's whoever can hear us, that's all of us, that includes every human being on the planet. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, in that second phrase, tells me the gender of the child that was born, which is the same thing that happens in Genesis 3:15, but we're not going to go there today. It tells me it's a male child that is born, and he's going to be born, not created like Adam. Unto us a son, that's going to be a male child, is given. And notice this, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Yeah.
Wow, there's coming a day when this child who was born and given for us will be in control of the government of the world. And the Bible puts it this way. It says that Jesus Christ will rule and reign with a rod of iron. When he comes, there will be nobody who can surpass his judgment. And it hasn't happened yet. This is a future prophecy that has not happened. Now, in Isaiah 9:6, it spans quite a bit of human history. When Jesus was born, we could date that back to 2017 years ago, roughly, the date of his birth, because they start counting time about the time he was born. See, and called it AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. So it's been about 2017 years since this A part came to pass, and it's indelibly stamped into your life in the world, all the way around for everybody. Doesn't make any difference what they say they are. They can say I'm a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, but you count your clock, it's counting Jesus for you.
All right.
Whoever you are, whatever you say, whatever you think you believe, your birth certificate is counting date from Jesus. Your clock on your job when you clock in is counting date from Jesus. Your tombstone on your grave is going to have a date from Jesus.
All right.
So say what you want, but look at the reality around you. We might put it in the modern vernacular today. Wake up and smell the coffee.
Yes.
Because Jesus is the one that time is configured around.
That's right.
Unto us, all of us. Who is that us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the fact that it says born lets you know that this is a begotten son.
Yes.
For unto us a child is born. See that?
Uh-huh.
Unto us a son is given. Now that talks about when he was crucified on the cross. Now some of you know I like to talk about the fact of giving a gift. And I've used an illustration I'm just going to do briefly today. If I say I'm going to give this anointed oil to Minister Patey, if I keep it over here, is it a gift yet?
No.
Well, I got a gift for you, brother. If I'm holding on to it, it's not a gift, is it? When does it become a gift? When I give it away. That's what happened on the cross. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. God gave him, and he forsook him on the cross. Turn his back. Jesus was given to you. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He gave him away over to the hands of sinners. That's the gift that he gave. It was a willing gift.
Yes.
You know, Jesus willfully gave his life, but the Father had to forsake him.
Thank you.
In order for the gift to really be given away.
Thank you.
And then it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. So it skips from his birth to his crucifixion to his second coming in the same passage. Boy, this is a deep passage, isn't it?
Yeah.
The government has not been on Jesus' shoulders. Not yet. But it says the government shall, you see that? Be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. Some people know he's wonderful. I do.
Amen.
Counselor. Some people know he's a counselor. I do.
Amen.
The Mighty God. We know he had to be God to do what he did. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. You notice that word, peace?
Yes.
Who is a prince? How do you get to be a prince? I'm not talking about make records and talk about 1999. Who is a prince? The son of a king, right?
Amen.
Okay, so the son of the king is this one here we're talking about, and he has been given. When does the prince get to be the king? When the king dies. Wow, God is working some stuff out in this verse, isn't he? He gets to be the king. When the king dies, he's the successor to the throne. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be up on his shoulders. First and second advent of Christ. One verse. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's eternal, everlasting kingdom. Upon the throne of David. Wow, how did David get up into the book of Isaiah? Hadn't he been gone for a while? Yes, but God made a promise that the son of David would be seated upon his throne forever and ever.
Yes.
So he goes back and picks up the prophecy he spoke before. And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and even forever. This will be an everlasting kingdom. And how do we know it will take place? The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. You, in other words, you can take this one to the bank, baby.
All right.
It's a done deal. God said it. You can believe it. Trust in him. Take it to the bank.
All right. All right.
Now, if you believe that, what does it mean that we have an evil dictator over in Korea threatening the world? What does it mean that we have unjust police going around killing our kids and getting away with it? What does it mean that we have false justice, they call it. They call it justice. We call it just us.
Amen. Come on.
It's just us who are being affected by it.
All right.
Not justice.
Yes.
It's just us. We're the only ones getting caught in this trap many times. You see? And so all of that, we have to go back into our word, find out God says, I got this.
Yeah.
Whatever you're going through, they're not going to win. The people who are wrong and breaking my law and violating my will, they're not going to win.
Nope.
If they don't repent and get right and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they won't be saved. But you know what? That's our job. We have to remember this, and this is important. Don't ever get where you forget that the people who are antagonizing you are not your enemy. They may be your enemy in the earth realm, but they are your mission field. So we're not out to break necks and legs and do the kind of mess they're doing. We're out to evangelize people and tell them what they need to do to get in on the real deal, which is this here, what God said. That God's recipe for true peace is trust in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. You know, he said that to a dying thief on the cross that came to him. He said, the first thief rebuked the other one. Y'all remember that scene, right? Three of them hanging on the cross, Jesus in the midst.
Yep.
Two thieves and Jesus hung between two thieves.
Yeah.
The one thief said, if you was the Son of God, get us down off the cross right now. Jesus didn't say a word. The other thief looked and said, hey, man, what are you talking about? We know we're guilty.
Uh-huh.
But Lord, this man has done nothing amiss, first of all, he said.
All right.
Lord, when you come into your kingdom, please remember me.
Remember?
And Jesus rose up out of the slump of death and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Yes.
See, he was transformed right there on the cross, and he was saved. When he went to his grave saved, a saved man, because he trusted in what God had said.
Amen.
He got a peace that passeth all understanding right there as he hung up there and was crucified. They came and broke his legs a few hours after that. See, and he slumped into death. That was it. They came to Jesus. He was already dead, so they didn't break his legs to fulfill the scripture.
Amen.
One man in that scene went into eternity without God.
All right.
And the other one went into eternity with God.
Yes.
Because he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So we need to remember that our eternal perspective should be on God's word if we want the recipe for true peace. And so it's very important, because the world has been out of adjustment in the area of true peace ever since the fall. This is nothing new, the stuff we're seeing today. Ever since Adam sinned, stuff's been out of whack. Murder started shortly thereafter.
That's right.
Brother to brother, Cain and Abel. Murder in the very first part of the Bible. And you know what? People kill people. Guns don't kill people. People
right.
kill people.
Right.
There weren't any guns.
Come on,
but there was murder. There was a spirit of murder in the world, even as far back as Cain and Abel. The Bible said the blood of Abel yet speaketh.
Yes, yes.
Huh. Abel been gone, but we still know he's took a stand for righteousness. He died in the peace of God, and we are still talking about him today.
That's right. That's right.
So the world has been way out of sync for a long time, ever since the fall, and have become increasingly worse throughout the history of mankind. Because man, as Isaiah said, there's coming a day when they'll study war no more. They'll stop learning who can make the biggest bomb, who can make the most destructive thing, and all of that. They'll stop that one day.
Amen.
And they'll beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks.
Yes.
And they'll stop studying how we can have the biggest gun and the biggest sword and the biggest, most deadly weapon. That's the kind of thing they think about. The problem is spiritual sickness. It goes from the White House to the Kremlin to City Hall around the world. That's what people do when they're fallen and they don't understand there's a day of accountability before the Most High God.
Oh, yes.
You want peace, you got to make peace with God.
All right.
Amen.
You got to have your mind set and fixed on what God has said. You can't just say, oh, well, we don't want God in the schools anymore. We don't want no prayer in the schools anymore. Let's take them Ten Commandments that we chiseled in the wall because we believed it 100 years ago. Let's take that down.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take it down. Who needs the Ten Commandments anymore? That's the kind of stuff we're seeing in the world. Other people are saying that he didn't even exist. So it goes from bad to worse. But if you want the recipe for true peace from God, keep your mind stayed on the word of God. Because mankind comes to at the point that only God can really offer any solution that actually works to heal the human soul and cause real peace to return. It's so, the infection is so bad. There is no human solution. Antichrist is going to pop up and give a supposed solution. And he's going to have the purse strings of the whole world. That's where everything's going. Y'all think the iPhone and Apple Pay and all that's all good stuff. It's heading toward one world system.
Right.
A cashless society with a mark in your forehead or in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So there won't be any need for money. So whoever this Antichrist is can control everything, every asset that everybody has.
Amen.
The wise will know about it. They'll know about it. They'll understand it. Why? Because God published it in his word.
Yes.
And we know what's happening, what's coming up. But we better be prepared to put our money where our mouth is and act like we really believe what God said.
Amen.
Isaiah prophesied of a time when God would take on human flesh. We call that the incarnation. For the the main purpose of becoming the only acceptable atonement, which provides all who believe in him through Jesus the Messiah true peace.
True peace. Yes.
Therefore, also the means to which to be at peace with one another.
Yes.
Well, you know, when you're saved, you're not worried about trying to shoot people and all that.
All right.
Unless it's to protect yourself because there's some wounds coming in on you.
All right.
But you're not looking to do any damage.
That's right.
Or hurt anybody. When you understand the gospel, I would like to get you saved.
Yes.
Rather than to destroy you. Because you're destroying yourself. You're doing a fine job without me. But I would like to tell you the truth to get you saved.
Amen.
See, so Paul makes it plain in the New Testament when he writes that justification is a free gift. And this word justified, just so you know, this is a legal word. This is a word that would have been used at the court if you came in and they had a case against you. And the judge slammed the gavel down at the end of the proceeding and said, not guilty. That's what should have probably happened. It didn't work that way here recently. We found that a person that should have been guilty was declared not guilty by a human court.
Yep.
Right. You see, but when you stand before Almighty God,
all right,
the only way you can get the declaration of not guilty is if you come in Jesus Christ.
That's the only way.
If you trust in Christ,
the only way.
If you believe God raised him from the dead, God will say, not guilty.
Not guilty.
All right.
That's this word, justified. Paul says, being justified by faith,
mm-hmm,
we have peace with God,
yeah,
through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason some people don't have peace with one another, they don't have peace with God.
All right.
Got to get right. Put the first things first.
Amen.
Jesus said that, didn't he? Seek ye first.
Yes.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things that you're worried about will be added to you. God will have your back on the stuff you need and the stuff you want.
Yes, he will.
If you trust in Christ with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't even try to figure it out. Just believe it because God said it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got enough history all wrapped around it for you to really check it out and take it to heart. You see that? So he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the first account you need to settle. Get right with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, now these are the benefits, side benefits, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm looking over all these kingdoms, skipping them, because God has got a kingdom that's coming.
Yes, yes.
It's going to be glorious,
yes,
full of righteousness and holiness. No sin, no death,
yes,
no crying, no disease, none of that. Everything is going to be perfect,
yes,
because Jesus paid the bill.
Yes, he did.
That's what it says there.
Yes.
That basically he says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because
mm-hmm,
everything will redound to the glory of God when it's all done. It's not going to be important how many stocks did I have. That really is not going to be very important in the grand scheme of things. Did you use those stocks to get the word out?
All right.
Did you use that stuff to help promote the kingdom of God?
Yes.
That's why Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth,
right,
where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal,
yeah,
but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. See, you got an incorruptible treasure laid up when you bless the kingdom of God on earth,
yes,
with the resources God has given you.
Amen.
So he says we rejoice and exult in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Wow, you mean going through trouble and anxiety and pressure, we can still glory and rejoice? That's part of God's recipe for true peace.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't make any difference. I'm going through trouble. Yeah, I am. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. God says the trouble you're going through has a purpose to tune your life and make you more like my son. So when you get trouble, endure it happily.
Yeah.
Go through it, because I'm not letting you go. I'm going to be with you in trouble. I'm going to be with you in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to be with you when you go in the lion's den. I'm going to be with you when they throw you in the furnace.
Yeah.
I'm with you every which way, no matter what trouble you go through.
That's it.
I'm with you. When you take the sling and go cut down Goliath, I'm with you.
Yes.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Trust me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Just take my word and go with it. Go forward. See, he says here, and patience. This is what you get by the trouble that you go through. You get experience, you get patience, and hope.
Yeah.
See that in verse 4? And hope maketh not ashamed. There is no shame in the truth. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says, Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Yeah.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. When you see the crucified Messiah, that shows you how righteous God is. Because nobody else can satisfy me.
Nobody.
Except my son.
Nobody but
and
you.
I released him, gave him to you as a gift. So that you can trust in him and know that I got you covered.
Yeah.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Which is given. See that? Now look here. Another gift. God has not only given you his son, but he's giving you his spirit.
Yeah. Wow.
He's given you his spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you.
Thank you.
If you believe. Christ in you, he said, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, right? So if the Spirit is a gift to you, the Son is a gift to you, eternity is a gift to you. God has already given it to you. For we, he says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's people like me who don't do everything right. Who don't do everything perfectly. Who hasn't done everything to satisfy God.
Amen.
Who still stumbles and trips and here and there. He died for the ungodly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So don't let somebody tell you some stuff about any kind of thing that will take you off the track. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die.
But how?
Yet preadventure, he says, for a good man should some, that some would even dare to die.
Yes.
But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
See that? Because he knew we didn't have a hope without Jesus. Much more then, in other words, consider all that, and even much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, people worry about the wrath of Kim Jong-un over in Korea. They worry about the wrath of Donald Trump. He says, you're going to receive fury and something. He said, well, it was really awful. He put all a big threat. And fire that you ain't ever seen before. Oh, you think you got some firepower? Wait till you come up before Christ without being covered. The wrath of God is going to be the worst thing the world ever saw. And you know what? You're shielded and covered and protected from wrath by faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you believe that God raised him from the dead. You are sheltered from the blast that God is preparing for a fallen world who has rejected him and rejected his son. See? So we're protected by the blood of Jesus. We're going to be saved from the wrath of God. That's what verse 9 is about. For if when we were enemies, that's when we didn't believe, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus defeated the grave, but the grave was where he paid my bill. He went in the grave and tasted death for you and for me so that he could bring us to God. He took the penalty. The Bible says the wages for sin is death. He took that death on him, and he did it perfectly with no sin of his own, so that he could pay for all of us who trust in him.
Yes.
See, he paid the bill in full.
My Lord.
How do you know he paid it in full, Pastor? Because 3 days and 3 nights later, according to God's word, the tomb was empty.
Yes. Yes.
He got up with all power. He defeated the devil. He defeated death. He defeated the grave.
Yes.
He defeated evil.
Yes.
All of that was covered. Because how you know? Because he ever lives to make intercession for me and you. He got up with all authority. See? And it's in God's book. It's been published in his word.
Yes.
Now think about this. And not only so, he said, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. That word atonement, we used to break it down and say that it means at one with God. You back in oneness with God. He covered you for everything you could possibly owe. Your debt was fully satisfied. You ever get something like that in the mail where it says, paid in full when it's stamped. Say, thank you, Lord. I don't have to worry about that one anymore. It's all paid.
Amen.
Gotta go there no more.
Hallelujah.
So Paul addresses the Romans with the teaching that only the ones who have received the atonement, which is paid for by the blood of Jesus, are the same ones who work for true peace in the world by spreading of the good news, which is the gospel.
The gospel.
So we don't ever want to get out of skew, man. Our purpose is always, why are people hating each other? And hey, why do the police hate the people? Why do the people hate the police? Because you're not saved. Christ is not the first thing on your mind. Not the first thing in your heart. You know, people who do it. And I'm not saying all police are not saved or anything like that. There's a whole lot of police saved.
That's right.
A whole lot of people saved. Just because you protest doesn't mean that you're not saved.
Amen.
But you ought to remember, at the end of the day, you can win a battle and lose a war.
Come on.
All right.
You can win a battle and lose a war.
Yeah. Yeah.
The real war is because folks need to be saved.
Yeah.
If folks were saved, Starkly, had you been saved, you wouldn't have been thinking about murdering somebody.
All right. All right.
Unless they were trying to murder you. Whoever else, name somebody. You wouldn't be thinking about it. Because you know what? You'd be thinking, boy, this person really needs Jesus.
Yes,
he needs Jesus.
Yes.
I might pull you over and tell you about Christ, put you in some handcuffs and preach to you. So you'll listen to me.
Yes. All right.
Well, I'm going to take you down to the jail because preachers go down there all the time and preach.
Yeah.
See, you'd be thinking different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people wouldn't be thinking about killing the police.
All right.
It works both ways.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
And there's some saved folks stuck in the middle of all that. So we want to pray for all of them.
Yes.
Think about all the folks you know that may be in the police department or fire department or something. They have to deal with all this craziness out here in the culture. And really the problem is people are not saved. The bottom line is they're not saved. So we want to always pray and remember who we are in the midst of any trial or any tribulation that we're going through. Amen. So that is God's recipe for true peace. And at this time, if you're not saved, we want to give you an opportunity at this time to come forward. Amen. We are here to receive you. Our principal purpose in the world is to tell you the gospel.
Amen.
And it's gospel. That word is from a Greek word, euangelizo, and it means the good news.
Yes.
And it is the good news. There's no better news anywhere to be found. Gospel, euangelizo. Y'all don't have to remember that one. It won't be on the test. But it's euangelizo. Eu means well or good, and angelizo comes from the word like angelos, which is an angel or messenger. Good message. We have a good message. God loves you just like you are. And he's given his son to save you from his wrath.
Amen.
And you think Hurricane Irma or Harvey was bad. Wait till you stand up at the great white throne.
Yellow.
And the wrath of God begins to come forth to you. That'll be the worst thing you ever seen. You haven't seen anything like that. Make Irma and Harvey look like a Sunday picnic.
Wow.
The wrath of God. You do not want to experience it. No one. So we give that opportunity for those who may not be saved. I think most everyone I see has made a commitment. Let me see the hands of folk who know they saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. What we have done is God commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there is room. But we do hope you got a good message from the word.
Amen.
Amen.